Good morning. It is time to get up with a free agent fiending frenzy. The entire NBA reshaped right before our eyes. We will sort the whole thing out. Then, what now for Wentz? After surgery on his foot, can Carson's Colts stand pat? Or do they need to deal for another quarterback? And then, it's Tampa Tom's 44th birthday. Wait until you hear how he chose to celebrate with his team. You will as we get up with you, starting right now on a Tuesday. Great to be back. Delighted to have you here. Delighted to have Tannenbaum here. Delighted to have them, Dan Orlovsky, Adam Schefter, already working the phone, fresh off the Peloton for 45 minutes and still spitzing. Wow. This morning is Adam Schefter. We'll get to all of that and more, but we begin with breaking news. Simone Biles and a triumphant return to the Olympics this morning. Biles won a bronze medal on the balance beam in her first competition since she withdrew from the women's team final last week, citing concerns for her mental health and physical safety. Biles displayed a slightly altered and less difficult routine than the one she performed during qualifying, but she was solid and finished third.
I'm pretty happy. I wasn't expecting to medal. I just came out here and just tried to do a good beam set. Yeah, well, to bring the topic of mental health, I think it should be talked about a lot more, especially with athletes, because I know some of us are going through the same things and we're always told to push through it, but we're all a little bit older now and we could kind of speak for ourselves. But at the end of the day, we're not just entertainment, we're humans, and there are things going on behind the scenes that we're also trying to juggle with as well on top of sports.
So for Simone Biles, it's her seventh career Olympic medal that ties Shannon Miller for the most by an American in gymnastics. It's just the latest in a long list of career accomplishments. She's the first woman to win five all-around world championship titles. Again, Simone Biles back on the beam today and taking the bronze. Now to the free agent frenzy in the NBA, where over $1.5 billion have already been spent. While you were sleeping, one of the stars of the playoffs, Hawks guard Trae Young, agreed to a five-year rookie max extension worth up to $207 million. Chris Paul, meanwhile, will stay with Phoenix. He has a new four-year deal. Could be worth as much as $120 million. He's 36 years old. Of course, he led his team to the finals this year. And maybe the biggest free agent move so far coming in Miami. Kyle Lowry joining the Heat in a sign-and-trade deal. Miami also adding former Bucks forward P.J. Tucker. And so the Heat trying to get themselves into a position where they can compete. And so let's go live to Tokyo, where the busiest man in the world is our NBA insider, Brian Windhorst. I say the world literally, as he is a world away. Let's talk about the Heat now. We sometimes look, I feel like we've started looking at the East as though it's the Nets and the Bucks, and that's it. Would you now put Miami in there as a legit contender with Kyle Lowry?
Yeah, they're right on the edge. I mean, Pat Riley has won so many free agent sweepstakes in his executive career, and here is another one. It's a huge addition for them. Not only that, it's going to really engage Jimmy Butler. I do think these two guys are going to work well together. But the Heat are not done. They have to fill up to seven roster spots with minimum salaries. And they are going to be in a dogfight with the Lakers, who may have to sign up to nine minimum salary players. So which role players are able to come and get that those cheap deals is going to be important. And then they need their young players to elevate. Tyler Hero had a sophomore slump season. Yeah, Lowry and Butler are great. They brought Duncan Robinson back. They need Tyler Hero to play more like he did 2 years ago. Then you may have the package of a championship.
Well, you mentioned the Lakers. Let's talk about the moves that they made yesterday. You say they're going to have to fill out the roster with minimum salary players, but they brought back several familiar faces. How do they look right now, given how tied up they are financially?
They look old. They are arguably going to be one of the oldest championship contenders we've ever seen. They do say in the NBA, you win with men and not boys, but they may want to try to get a couple of boys because Talen Horton Tucker is still out there. They've got to try to bring him back. This is what LeBron wants. LeBron wants to play with guys he's familiar with and guys he trusts. That's what the Lakers are delivering him. They don't need any more home runs. They've got stars in place. But they need some singles. They may have started hitting a couple yesterday, but they need some more.
All right, we'll see what they can do. In the meantime, while you were sleeping, not you, Wendy, but everybody watching was sleeping, Team USA beating Spain in the Olympics there. And so after something of a slow start for this team, both in the exhibition round and then losing the opener to France. Does this team now appear to you destined to win the gold medal?
They're getting close. They're still not putting whole games together. They were down 10 points in the first quarter, or the first half in this one. But Kevin Durant has just been fantastic. He is, look, Greeny, he's the best American Olympian basketball player we've had. He's going to surpass Carmelo, I think. And he is adding to that case. He had 29 points in this one. And even if they're not great, Durant makes them great when he keeps playing like this. If he's got two more in the chamber like this, they're going to take gold.
We'll see what happens. Again, Wendy is a man who has not slept in an awful long time. Thank you very much for staying up and getting up here with all the latest on the NBA, Wendy. Meanwhile, to the NFL and an update on Carson Wentz. Yesterday, Colts head coach Frank Reich revealed that Wentz will require surgery on his injured foot. He'll be sidelined somewhere from 5 to 12 weeks, which, as many pointed out yesterday, is quite the wide delta. Here's more from the Colts coach.
Yeah, I think it was a gut punch for him for about 2 hours. Just knowing Carson, I'm optimistic. You know, knowing that this is a type of injury you don't have to be pain-free to play in. And I know Carson's level of toughness. I know he can play with pain. So, you know, you have with this injury, from listening to the doctors, you have to get to an acceptable level of pain, and then you can start playing. So that could happen early.
Let's bear in mind, early is important for this team. Look at the first five games for the Colts this year. That is the proverbial murderer's row. And if they have to do some of it, much less all of it, without their starting quarterback, that obviously would be of significant concern. So, again, let's dive into that here. Mike Tannenbaum in the studio, Dan Orlovsky ready to go. But, Shefty, I will start with you. What more can you tell us about the injury, about the surgery, and about anything about as quickly he can come back?
The surgery was performed yesterday, Greeny. Dr. David Porter, who is on the Colts staff, performed the surgery in Indianapolis. And now the Colts will wait to see how Carson Wentz responds over the next 2 weeks before making any decisions about whether or not they need another quarterback on their roster. Right now, their plan is to go with the former fourth-round draft pick, Jacob Eason, and then have Wentz come back as soon as he possibly can. And they have not ruled out the idea that he could be back for the week one regular season opener, as unlikely as that may seem right now for somebody who has been as fragile as Carson Wentz. But they're not giving up hope. They still think there's a chance he could be back. So all this talk about Nick Foles and Marcus Mariota and any other quarterback that's out there right now, that should be tabled and shelled for the time being. Their plan as it stands is to go with Jacob Eason until Carson Wentz can come back. They think it'll be on the shorter side rather than the longer side. We'll see how he responds to this surgery, and then they'll make their decision going forward.
All right, so anyone who watches this show, the first person that comes to their mind when you hear the words Carson Wentz is Dan Orlovsky. Dan, we were all worried about you on Friday as this news was breaking. What is your... You heard what Shefty just said. You see the situation as it stands. Yeah. What is your perspective?
Yeah, shout out to Schefter for actually getting the story right, Greeny. I'm going to channel my inner Aaron Rodgers, okay? R-E-L-A-X. Everybody relax. Number one question. Do the Colts believe it's going to be closer to 5 weeks or 12 weeks? Shefty just told us they think it's going to be closer to 5 weeks. So if he might miss a couple games, right? That does not have a significant impact on their season. 17-game season, seven teams in the playoffs. Number two, what does Jacob Eason look like? Shefty referenced the fourth-round pick from last year. Because if we were looking at this football team in a blind resume, right? Jacob Eason is a young player from Washington. I'll tell you one thing, big arm. Big, powerful, strong arm that can push it downfield. Blind resume of this football team, Greeny. This is a football team that has a great defense. Why does that matter for a young quarterback? I don't have to go score 30 points to go win a game. It has a great offensive line. I don't have to play fast and potentially panic with the football. It has a very good run game. I could turn around and hand it off a little bit. Good skill position players, great coaching. If we were just looking at this blindly and Carson Wentz's name wasn't attached to it, we would go, this is a good place for a young quarterback to go play. And that's why you don't have to panic if Jacob Eason has to go play a couple games. And I would say this about Carson Wentz. One, you owe the organization, the general manager and the head coach, you owe them to go and play tough. When you come back, and because it sounds like this is not a performance-hindering injury, this sounds like it is a pain tolerance injury, in their words, he does owe it to them to go play tough because they stuck their necks out there for him. Go play tough. Go earn the respect of your football team and go play well doing so. But the Colts just need to be patient.
Okay, so patience is something that is frequently in short supply when you are the general manager of a football team, which you've been in two different cases. So Dan Orlovsky is saying to relax. If you were sitting where Chris Ballard is sitting right now, would you be relaxed?
No, I'm doing the exact opposite. And here's why, Greeny. I have literally looked around the world for the best experts in performance. And the number one factor in assessing the risk if a player is going to get hurt is their past history. And the reality is Carson Wentz has finished one season healthy as a quarterback where he started the season and ended the season. And therefore, based on those facts, Greeny, we can't relax. That's just the truth of it. We saw San Francisco do it. They had a fragile Jimmy Garoppolo. They traded up for Trey Lance. If I'm the Colts, I'm going to do everything within reason to make sure that over a 17-game marathon that I have somebody else there besides Jacob Eason.
Okay, so Jacob Eason would not be a satisfactory. So who is that someone else?
It's easy. It's Nick Foles. He's making $4 million a year, Greeny, right now sitting in Chicago. And I've been there. Ryan Tannehill got hurt in a preseason practice. Good. We had to go out and beg Jay Cutler to come out of the Fox broadcasting booth. This is someone that makes $4 million a year. He knows the offense. This is easy. He's a third-string quarterback. And that's not to say that you can't accomplish great things with Carson Wentz, but it's the right thing to do because you have to look at Carson Wentz's injury history.
Oh, that's right. If only there was some history between Foles and Wentz. Oh, yeah, there's a statue in Philadelphia that should remind everyone of that. So, Dan Orlovsky, when you hear him say, the Colts should go get Nick Foles, what do you think?
Run away. Do not, and I love Mike T, do not listen to that. I knew you were going to go there, so I did my research, Mike T. First of all, the 49ers drafted Trey Lance instead of Jimmy Garoppolo because Jimmy G ain't good enough, okay? Like, that's why they drafted Trey Lance. Number two, you talked about Tannehill and Cutler. I love you. You guys went 6-8 that year. Jay Cutler did not save your season. He threw for 17 touchdowns and 12 picks. So that, like, it wasn't like that saved the season. Number three, Ryan Tannehill tore his ACL. You guys knew Tannehill was done for the season. The Colts and Carson Wentz, they're looking at maybe missing a game or two is their optimistic feeling. So that's a completely different situation. Three, Nick Foles, let me say this, greatest backup quarterback in the history of the NFL. I love Nick Foles. In the last two seasons, when he starts at quarterback, his team's averaged 17 points a game. He's 44th in the NFL in yards per attempt in the last 2 years and couldn't knock off Gardner Minshew and Mitchell Trubisky. Stop constantly correlating Nick Foles with Carson Wentz and it being a better option.
Yes, I mean, we have seen at least one example, well, two examples of it being a better option, but go ahead.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo is 24-9 as a starter. If that's not good enough, I'm not really sure what is. And all I'm saying is when you're a general manager and your resources are scarce, that's my point. We went out and got Jay Cutler. That was the best option possible. I'm saying it's fortuitous if you're Chris Ballard that you could go get somebody at 2% of your salary cap to give you a great insurance policy.
Okay, I'm going to come back to this. Shefty, I have more questions for you about it. Orlovsky obviously has a lot to say about it. I have to go to some other stuff here, but we will come back to that, I promise, because there is much more to be said there. However, I should remind you that the Cowboys and Steelers are 2 days away from kicking off the preseason with the Hall of Fame game, and Dak Prescott is still nursing an arm injury. I want you to hear what our friend Tim Hasselbeck says. He thinks it's an issue that might not be going away.
Well, as somebody who's had a sore arm in training camp before, I do think it's a bit of an issue. Now, he could recover fine. They do have the benefit of time. But the thing I'll tell you is this. You know, a lot of times that arm soreness, it never really goes away. It lingers because you don't really have that much time to let it completely calm down. And once you start throwing again, it starts to bother you again. And you know, if you just think about it this way, you hope to still be throwing a football at the beginning of February. It is a marathon of a season. And so for that reason, I do think it's something to keep an eye on.
Well, I think it is imperative to hear from the quarterbacks on an issue like this. There's one of them. Here's another. Dan Orlovsky, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not concerned, but it's got my attention. You know, 2 years ago, we watched Dak Prescott last game of the season have to go up to Philadelphia, play and try to win the division, and he couldn't play as well as he wanted to do because of the shoulder. Then we go to last year, and he obviously has that catastrophic ankle injury. And now that same shoulder that I just talked about from 2 years ago has some pain in it, some strain in it. This isn't ideal. This isn't great. I'm not my concern isn't incredibly high, but it's got my attention because Tim is right. The quarterback, throughout the season, you could rest a lot of things. You could find ways to rest an ankle, find ways to rest a knee, find ways to rest some other body part. It's very, very difficult to rest a shoulder. Quarterbacks are going to do one thing throughout the season that I can bank on, throw. You're going to throw almost every single day. And that's going to be something to pay attention to. It absolutely has my attention, Dak Prescott and his shoulder in Dallas.
Shefty, they have put a brave face on this, if you will, in Dallas. They're talking like it's no big deal, at least publicly. What are you hearing?
Well, Greeny, that's exactly what they're going to do and what they're supposed to do. They're not going to say, boy, Dak's got a sore arm. We're concerned about this. They're going to do the right thing right now, which is basically not have him throw in the preseason, not have him play in the Hall of Fame game this week, take his time to get ready. It's August 3rd. The season doesn't open until, 4 weeks from Thursday? Or 5 weeks from Thursday.
Five,
they've got plenty of time to sit down. And it's more important to make sure that Dak's shoulder is rested and healthy for the long term, for the marathon that Tim Hasselbeck is referring to, not to have extra training camp throws. And again, you go back to the offseason. There had to be so much emphasis on getting his ankle and leg right for this upcoming season that maybe his shoulder got a little bit overlooked and wasn't trained the way it ordinarily was. So now you make up for it. Now you rest the shoulder. But as Tim Hasselbeck points out, this could just linger all season long. Don't think he's missing time. It's not like he's going to miss games over this. But you want Dak Prescott functioning as close to 100% as you possibly can.
All right, so you were not relaxed, Mike T, when it came to Carson Wentz. Are you relaxed when it comes to Dak?
No, because I'm going to quote Bill Parcells, quarterbacks throw with their legs. We want them to squat. We want them to clean. And the all-time greats, guys like Dan Marino, Vinny Testaverde, they're going to go to the grave with great arms, Greeny, but it's their feet, or in someone like Testaverde, he tore his Achilles. So I am concerned. I agree with Dan, Tim Hasselbeck. This is an 18-week, 17-game marathon. If he has soreness in early August, I would be concerned. I would put him on a pitch count. And to me, this is a residue of the rust of not playing for over a year.
All right, so what does that mean, though? Does that, when the season begins, will this have any impact? They open on a Thursday night, as you well know. You've actually predicted they're going to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 5 weeks from this Thursday. Does this change that at all?
Possibly, absolutely. They may have to put him on a pitch count all year long, and it's going to take them a while to get up and running. Again, this is a guy that didn't play last year, still learning a new system, some new faces coming back with offensive line. It may take a while. This is going to be a work in progress in terms of their offense.
But as we say, we are working our way quickly towards the beginning. Yeah, go ahead, Danny. Quick thought, go.
Mike T, do you think they should go sign Nick Foles?
He's going to be an Indianapolis Colt. He's not available.
I just wanted to check.
Can every team sign Nick Foles? In a perfect world, if every team had Nick Foles, except for the one that he's on, because that was the one place that it didn't work out for him at all. All right, Shefty, let me run the hurry up with you here, because there's a bunch of news and notes out there. It starts with Kirk Cousins. What is the latest?
Listen, I think Mike Zimmer's been a little bit frustrated about the Vikings quarterback room and Kirk Cousins' unwillingness to get the vaccine at this point in time. And obviously, they're shorthanded at the quarterback position. They claimed yesterday on waivers a quarterback from the Seattle Seahawks just to get through here. But the Vikings quarterback room is in trouble with Kirk Cousins right now on the reserve COVID list. And then from Kirk Cousins, we got a Devonta Smith, the Eagles' rookie first-round draft pick, who sprained his MCL over the weekend. He's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks, which essentially knocks him out of the preseason. Not ideal for a rookie wide receiver. You want to get him some looks, some action. And the first time he could be in action would be the Eagles' regular season opener. The team doesn't sound concerned, but again, not a great situation. And then yesterday, the Rams quarterback, Matthew Stafford, banged his thumb. There was some concern within the organization when it happened. Keep in mind, Stafford underwent all-season surgery on his hand. He was shaking it yesterday. There was a little bit of a cut. There was no stitches. The team now thinks he's fine, doesn't believe it's an issue, but will monitor Stafford. And just think, Stafford gets hurt yesterday. Wentz gets hurt last week. Dak's got a sore arm. We're about a week into training camp, and these quarterback injuries are piling up. So to go back to Mike T's favorite quarterback, there might be more teams out there that could be making a push for Nick Foles.
Yeah. Is it possible that by the time we get to the beginning of the season, Shefty, I will ask you about 31 teams in the NFL acquiring Nick Foles?
It's Orlovsky possible, Brady. It's early in training camp right now. Why not?
Orlovsky may be signed by the C-Block.
That's right. Exactly right. We may need to get Hasselbeck in here before the end of the show because Orlovsky could wind up on the Colts. All right, as we continue, we got Tom Brady's birthday today. Is it possible he could be better at the age of 44 than he's been at any other time in his career? We will dive into that. Plus, why one of our group says the most important player on the field for the Steelers is not named Ben. We'll tell you who it is as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by USAA Insurance, auto, renters, and home insurance. Orlovsky, meanwhile on planet Earth, this is Aaron Rodgers driving around town in his brand new fancy golf cart. What do you think, Dan? That's as you were driving in this morning on our meeting there on the phone. This might be fancier than the ride you had this morning.
Yeah, he's got a top. My Wrangler doesn't. I'm actually going to see if I can get this when I go to Sea Isle in New Jersey for a couple weeks with my family soon so I can feel better about driving around town with all my kids. I kind of like it, Greeny.
I've said many times, there is no better way on planet Earth of getting from one place to another than by taking a golf cart. Mm. It is my favorite form of transportation. Coming up, Tom Brady, the birthday boy, aging like fine wine. Is it possible he's about to be better than ever? We'll answer that question next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up. Let's play a game called Who's the Most Important Player in Each Division Who's Not a Quarterback? Dan, let's start in the AFC East. Who's the most important non-quarterback in that division?
Rookie wide receiver for the Dolphins, Jalen Waddle. Greeny, Jalen Waddle at Alabama had 17 touchdown catches for 757 yards. He averaged almost 45 yards per touchdown catch. This is a playoff caliber football team that needs to find an explosive weapon on offense. Jalen Waddle brings them that.
Let's go out west. Mike Tannenbaum, who's the most important non-quarterback in the AFC West?
It is Derwin James, Greeny. He's only played in 5 games in 2 years, and you and I both love Justin Herbert. We know how explosive that offense is going to be. We know about Joey Bosa. But for the Chargers to close the gap on the Chiefs, Derwin James is going to have to play elite, and he is going to have to play in all 17 games.
Yes, which, to your point, almost never seems to happen. He was brilliant as a rookie, and he's been banged up ever since. Dan, let's go to the AFC North. Who's the most important non-quarterback in that division?
Big play OBJ. For as great as this offense in Cleveland was last year, they need someone to create big plays in the pass game for them. Last year, they were 25th in the NFL in 25-yard or more passes. he can bring that to this offense. The big play, play action bombs down the middle of the field to stretch the sideline. Odell Beckham closes the gap between the Browns and a Super Bowl.
I like that a lot. The Browns, obviously a team thinking about winning that division. How about their arch rival Steelers, who are 2 days away from kicking off the preseason with the Hall of Fame game against the Cowboys? And, of course, one of the big questions heading into the season, can the Steelers turn around what was an incredibly disappointing end to 2020? They began 11-0. They wound up losing four of their last five and then getting bounced out in the playoffs quickly. And we were talking this morning, Mike T, and you were saying there was one factor and one player on that team who will be critical, and it isn't the one anyone is expecting.
Yeah, it's Najee Harris, and whether or not he's an effective pass protector. Let me tell you a story, Greeny. When we traded for Brett Favre, he's like, I need one thing. I'm like, Brett, we just traded for you. We'll name the George Washington Bridge after you, whatever you need, buddy. He's like, I need a veteran running back who knows pass protection. If we have that, we're going to be great. And when you think about the fact that they have three new offensive linemen in Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger is going to need to know that that rookie running back knows protections, knows when to go out for a hot. He needs to know what to do. And if he doesn't know, if he's not comfortable with that at 39 years old with three new offensive linemen and a rookie running back, this is really going to hurt the Steeler offense.
Well, to Dan Orlovsky, the reason I wanted this in the show today is because I think it is a great example of the little things that many fans may not pick up on or realize are important. I think Najee Harris is going to be the offensive rookie of the year. I think he's going to run wild this season, and that's all well and good. But if he can't pick up pass protection in this way, then maybe he can't even be on the field all the time. As a quarterback, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a fair point, but let me be very clear. They did not pick Najee Harris in the first round to be a pass protecting back. And I think Mike T agrees with that. Like, you better go be a dude. I don't need you to excel in that right now. I think overall for the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, I'd say number one, they're going to have to be the first team to do something that's never been done. I don't know how this offense, with a bad offensive line and an old quarterback, becomes explosive. Like that, I don't think that's ever happened in the NFL, to have an old quarterback, bad offensive line, and still be explosive on offense. Now, two of the ways I do think they can do it, Greeny, is one, they got to become less predictable. Last year, this offense was just too predictable. Big Ben wasn't under center enough, and when he was, they were going to hand it off. When he was in the gun, it was going to be a pass. So, like, they've got to figure out putting Ben more under center, having him more in the play-action game. Two, utilize more of this at-the-snap or pre-snap motion that everybody does in the NFL except basically the Steelers. They need to do more of it. But Najee Harris is going to be a really, really, really good player, but his impact on this offense should be significantly greater than whether you could pick up the blitzing Mike linebacker or not.
Yeah, no, Dan, if Rex Ryan was sitting right here, someone I worked with for 4 years would tell you that if a rookie running back doesn't know protection,
it's coming.
They're going to blitz pregame. So, look, he's a great player, and, yeah, he needs to be a dude, but if he doesn't know protections, it's going to hurt the Steeler offense.
Yeah, and that would be the point. Maybe he can't be on the field all the time. So that's why it's interesting to watch. Dan, generally speaking, I agree with you. Shefty, when you talk to people in and around the Pittsburgh Steelers, there's such split opinion on what people expect from them. They have a Hall of Fame coach. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback and an elite defense. What are you hearing from people about Pittsburgh?
Well, I think people are higher on the Steelers than Mike Tannenbaum is right now. Mike Tannenbaum has them written off for the upcoming season. And I think we go back to last year and look at Pittsburgh. They were the last unbeaten team in the league. At one point, they were rolling along. Looked like they were bound to go to the Super Bowl. And then they just self-destructed towards the end of the year. Lots of injuries, turnovers. Everything went south. And it seemed to start when they started playing in Cincinnati for whatever reason. And I think this team is trying to get back some of those injured defensive players like Devin Bush, get those guys healthy, run the football, play old-style football to get back to where they were and to prove somebody like Mike Tannenbaum wrong and to get the Steelers back to where we usually see them.
We will see how the Pittsburgh Steelers are able to do. Next issue, today, if you look at your calendars, August 3rd, that means two things. One, it's three shopping days until my birthday. Second, today is Tom Brady's 44th birthday. Let's talk about what that means. Again, Tampa Tom about to become just the fourth quarterback in the Super Bowl era to start a single game at age 44. The others are Vinny Testaverde, Warren Moon, and Steve DeBerg, who combined to start five games in their age 44 season. How about more crazy stats? Brady has won more playoff games since turning 40 than five active NFL franchises have won in their history. He's also older than 13 current NFL coaches, 5,400 different players have been drafted in the NFL since he was in the year 2000. The numbers just are ridiculous. In fact, I would add, today is also Zach Wilson's birthday, the young quarterback for the Jets. He's exactly half Brady's age. He turns 22 today. Brady turns 44. Dan, is there any reason? Can Tom Brady be better at 44 than he's ever? What are you waving at me?
Anytime you have Tom Brady and you come to me and say, can he? My answer is yes. I don't care what the question is. Like, I'm not saying no, okay? Can he be better? Absolutely. My answer is yes. I don't care what you are going to come after you say, can he, what the words are that follows, it's going to be yes, because all this guy does is go and prove. Yes, yes, yes. Can he be better? Absolutely, because they're going to put O.J. Howard in this offense, Antonio Brown in this offense, Gio Bernard in this offense, and I'm never going to doubt Tom Brady.
Well, let's ask one Michigan man about another Michigan man. What is your sense, again, on Brady's 44th birthday, of his expectations and his team's expectations going into a season where they'll be defending a Super Bowl crown?
They think they're going to be better than last year, which is hard to imagine, right? But again, last year, irregular offseason program, getting used to the offense. They had some injuries. They get people back. Now he's comfortable in the offense. Now he has the players he wants. Now he has the confidence of winning a Super Bowl. Now, technically, they should really be rolling when they were rolling at the end of last year. At one point, they were 7-5. They picked up steam, and then nobody could stop them. And they don't believe that there's any reason that this team shouldn't be better this year. The defense should be better. Brady should be more comfortable. Now, again, it's August, right? Everybody feels that way. And then the season starts, and we see what turns out to be fact and fiction. But this team feels like it has the talent and potential to be better than it was last year.
No, and I think all the logic suggests that that's exactly right, Shefty. And so what is the answer to that question? As a GM, you have to be planning for the future. They've done that. They drafted Kyle Trask. By the way, when Trask was born, the eventual replacement for Brady, Brady was a junior in college. So I have numbers coming out the anywhere you're looking for today. But what is your sense of this?
Yo, Greeny, as you would like to say, sneaky big news. And Dan touched on it. O.J. Howard only played in 4 games. When you go back to those great Patriot offenses and how many good tight ends they had over the years, O.J. Howard could be a great player. So I agree with what Adam said about preparation time, but O.J. Howard could be a difference maker for them. So yeah, remarkably, they could be better. And here's something else about his age. He is 15 years older than Carson Wentz. And we would have said this 2 months ago, regardless of his current foot situation. We all thought Tom Brady had a better chance of playing 17 games than Carson Wentz. His durability is remarkable for somebody that's so much older than his peers.
See that, Dan? Why does he have to do that?
I don't know. Who put you up to this? Marcus Spears? Was it Mina Kimes? Was it all the Cowboys fans? Like, who put you up to this, Tannenbaum?
It's just the facts. I think that's F-A-C-T-S, Dan. The facts.
He just comes at, for absolutely no reason. He's just coming at Orlovsky.
Yeah, I don't understand it, Greeny. Also, just touching on the Tom Brady thing, I make fun of my friends who are 44 years old, and I call them old. So, I don't, you know.
How old are you?
North of 44.
Yeah, Shefty, how old are you?
54, and we should all be as pliable as Tom Brady.
Yeah, I was about to say, that Orlovsky, you're the only one in this conversation who's not older than Tom Brady. So we all took that personally. All right, coming up, we're down to two teams. The basketball tournament championship game for $1 million. It's Boeheim's Army taking on Blue Collar U. It's 9 Eastern on ESPN and the app. One app, one tap. Coming up, the one thing Trevor Lawrence has to handle right away in the NFL. Dan will tell you what it is and why it is the key to his team's entire season. Plus, Mahomes, the magician, how Patrick surprises even himself with his creativity. Coming up, you're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and a player in the spotlight is Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, entering a pivotal second season in which he'll be expected to take a big step forward. Yesterday, his coach Robert Flores talking about his continued development in the Dolphins offense.
I think he's gotten off to a good start. Still a long way to go, still very early. Good command of the offense, you know, his techniques and his, you know, that's QB mechanics, fundamentals, trying to work those every day and get them, you know, where they need to be so that his footwork, his timing, that all kind of plays into his accuracy as a passer.
That, of course, is Brian Flores. Robert is our former colleague here at ESPN. My apologies to both sets of Flores families. In the meantime, Dan, let's take a look at Tua, because there's a lot of pressure on him as the quarterback of a team that's expecting big things this season.
Greeny, I would say for Tua, aim, don't guide. The definition of aim is to point or direct at a target with intent. Okay, when you do that as a quarterback, it's right before the ball comes out of your hands, and that's good. When you guide the ball as a quarterback, that's direct with positioning something. You try to do that the whole time the ball is in the air. You can't do that. And that's why Tua struggled so last year throwing the ball downfield. If you look at his numbers and you go, okay, Tua's ability to push the ball downfield, he really struggled because he was constantly trying to guide the football. You never want to do that with the deep ball. You always want to aim, pick a target, focus on that target, and let the ball go. Now, a big thing is trust, okay? This is last year. Seven guys on defense are going to come. Six guys on offense are in protection. The middle guy for the Miami, Jakeem Grant, is going to have a seam. That's a great situation. Tua knows I got to beat one guy. He is set enough to beat that one guy. Now, this is a salivating moment for a quarterback. There's nobody in the middle field. I just got to push that ball out there. That's wide open in the NFL. Mike T knows it. I got two steps on a defender. Be the green arrow. Throw it out there, not the red arrow. For some reason, you hold that defender up. Ball gets tipped in the air, and the best safety in the league, Tyrann Mathieu, runs underneath it. Same game. Empty set. Six guys on defense, five guys on offense. A great situation again to push the ball downfield. Slot fade. No safety in the middle of the field. I got to get the ball up before that sixth guy comes. That's a great job by Tua. Look at this. This is wide open in the NFL. Tua, push that ball out there. Trust that that receiver will go run underneath it, be the green, not the red, but instead he holds that receiver up, and again, it's a PBU by the defense. And it's because he's trying to guide that ball to place it to a perfect situation. I know he can do it. He did it at Alabama. Progression, find it. Now let me bleed that guy. Let me throw that guy to an open area. Trust that he'll go run to get there away from that corner, and that equals that big play for Alabama. I know Tua can do it. I've seen him do it. It's not can you do it. It's will you do it for Tua? And that's the big question. Now, listen, Will Fuller helps. Jalen Waddle helps. But he's got to trust that I can throw that ball out there. When you're locking 15 to 20-yard throws, ball placement's paramount, okay, because it's smaller windows. When you're thinking deep throws, trajectory is paramount. He's got to trust that those cats are going to go run underneath that football. Aim, don't guide.
It's so well done. And so let's look at this, because that's, again, a Dolphins team thinking big-time playoff thoughts this year. They have a lot of ammunition to go out and get themselves a new quarterback next offseason if they want to. How would you describe what's at stake for Tua right now?
Well, it's an important year, Greeny, but context is so important here, which is a couple of years ago, we would say 3 to 5 years for a young quarterback to develop. We give them 3 to 5 minutes now.
Yeah.
He's coming off a major hip surgery. Dan put together an excellent tape, and I think Miami did a good job. They have Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle. If those guys are healthy, they're both explosive. Tua's game is he has to get the ball down the field. He certainly has the weapons to do it. This is an important year for him, but we got to pump the brakes a little bit. It's only year two.
Yes, of course. But you said it. We move on from people after year two. We've seen it pretty quickly here. And again, if he is perceived to be the reason the Dolphins don't do this season what they think they're capable of otherwise, it really could be two and done even though he was the fifth pick in the draft. We'll see. In the meantime, let's get to And Here's Why, because Tannenbaum's got a lot of stuff that he wants to share with us. Mike, and let us begin in Houston. Are the Texans paying extra attention to the Carson Wentz situation?
They are, Greeny, and here's why. When Philadelphia traded Carson Wentz, there was a condition put into the trade in terms of how much he plays this year. If he plays 70% or more and they make the playoffs, or 75% more in play time, then they get a first-round pick. That could give them three number one picks they could trade to Houston for Deshaun Watson if that ever happens.
So, again, the trickle-down effect of this thing could be significant to Philly and a lot of other places. Next up, Mike, are some Alabama rookies facing a critical development point right now?
Absolutely, starting with DeVonta Smith. When he came out, he was a talented rookie who was frail, Greeny. There was concerns about his durability. He's already nicked up with an MCL. That is a concern if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles. Mac Jones, he's competing with Cam Newton. Every rep is consequential to see if he can get the starting job.
It doesn't seem to be trending in that direction from what we hear out of there. Next, Mike, will there be a serious learning curve for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville?
Absolutely. And Greeny, if we look at the recent history, here's why that's the case. Good coaches like Matt Rhule, Bill O'Brien, Cliff Kingsbury, they struggled. And we've already seen Urban Meyer hire Chris Doyle, then fire him within days. We've seen him being fined for offseason violations, which other coaches have, let's be fair. There is a massive learning curve for Urban Meyer as he makes this transition that will impact Trevor Lawrence's development.
Well, that's fair enough. But you just said the most important words in all of this, and let me bring Danny into the conversation on that thought, because what the one thing that Meyer has on his side that none of those other coaches did is that guy as his quarterback. Yeah. What are you looking at with Trevor Lawrence?
Well, how he handles pressure of being the number one pick and the pressure of defensive line. Greeny, I'm nitpicking here, all right? But this is something that I'm watching Trevor Lawrence in the preseason and his rookie year. Now, I'd say this. A quarterback and dealing with the pass rush is like dealing with bad weather. You never allow it to dictate your decisions until it actually presents itself. This is against Ohio State. Now, the pass concept is going to be one that I have seen Trevor Lawrence run hundreds of times at Clemson. You're going to start with this tailback on this rail route. No matter what the coverage is, he starts to be your number one guy. And number two, three, and four are going to be an inside mesh concept. Really, you're going to have this triangle on the inside. Now, Ohio State's going to run defensively a cover three defense. Really, these inside linebackers and safeties are going to be a big key of this play. But I want everyone to pay attention to this nickelback, all right? It's cover three zone defense, a third, a third, a third. You guys have zone areas. This nickel guy, I told you that always start with that tailback on that rail route, right? Now, this nickel defender, if he hangs, stays in place, or widens at all, gets with, this guy is dead. You are moving off of him immediately. Now watch, pay attention to that nickel defender for Trevor Lawrence. I told you guys, what did he do? All he did was hang and widen. Now Trevor Lawrence is already getting the ball out of his hands, but you shouldn't be because of what that guy's doing. He's getting that ball to the tailback right now, and you're gonna go bang, bang, incompletion. Look at that shallow cross. I told you that nickel defender, if he hangs, you got that inside triangle, right? That shallow cross is wide open. But I really want everyone to see it from the back angle to talk about being sped up. This is early in the Ohio State game. Take yourselves back, because this Ohio State defensive line was really getting after Trevor Lawrence. And I think he allowed the rush to affect his decision-making. Pay attention to the defensive ends and pay attention to the clock, okay? Those defensive ends are gonna rush, four-man rush. Now pay attention, look at 2.2 seconds. Trevor Lawrence is already getting that ball out of his hands. This is good protection. You're locked down. You're locked down. Dude, we've given you a great scene to go climb the pocket in. Go climb that pocket. That's what I want you to do. But for some reason, this shallow cross is going to pop wide open. And you allowed that pressure to force you to make that decision instead of, my guys are good. I'm going to climb the pocket, hit that shallow cross. Again, I am nitpicking here. But this is something that I'm going to watch. Can Trevor Lawrence, no matter what's happening with the defensive line, still consistently operate at a premium level in the NFL?
All right, that's fascinating. Is that the kind of thing that gets coached out of you in the NFL quickly, though? Yes.
Yeah, and it's feel. You got to trust your guys, and it's feel and it's confidence. But great, great, great quarterbacks, they never allow that to be something that dictates their decisions.
All right, he's supposed to be exactly that, a great, great, great quarterback. Outstanding work, Dan, as always. Let me run the bases through a bunch of baseball notes from yesterday. It starts with more bad news from the Yankees And their ace, Gerrit Cole, has tested positive for COVID. He will not make his scheduled start later today. The Yankees manager, Aaron Boone, made the announcement after last night's 7-1 loss to the Baltimore Orioles. Elsewhere, Jose Ramirez homered to cap a three-run 10th. Cleveland beat Toronto 5-2, snapping the Blue Jays' four-game win streak. Vlad Guerrero hit his 34th home run for the Blue Jays in what was a loss. Elsewhere, JT Realmuto hit a go-ahead two-run single to highlight a five-run rally in the ninth, carrying the Phillies to a 7-5 win against the Nats. The Phils have pulled to within 2.5 games of the East Division leading Mets. And this week, our Sunday night baseball game will be on ABC. It's the series finale in the crosstown rivalry between the South and Northsiders in Chicago. White Sox continue to lead their division. Our coverage begins at 7 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app, one tap. Coming up, what now for Wentz? What should the Colts do without him? Plus, a big quarterback injury. Shefty's got the latest next.